Hey, this is Graham Thickens of Minovate, and I have with me Steve Borsch.
Hey, how you doing?
And Phil Wilson.
Good afternoon.
And we're doing a little talk here with our friend from the Bay Area, Jeremiah Aoyang from Forrester Research. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're in Minneapolis, where Jeremiah has come to speak with, shall we say, a private client, whose name shall remain nameless, I guess, at this point. But Jeremiah, you were here talking about the future of the social web, and I understand this is based on some still as yet unpublished research. Was that correct?
That's right. You guys got a sneak preview of this research that I'll publish in a few weeks.
Great. Have you, I assume, been going around the country and giving this talk to a number of clients then?
Only a few amount of people have actually heard some of this content, so it's still pretty fresh.
Wow, we were the lucky ones then. Yeah. And the room at this Fortune 500 company was filled with, I would say, 70 people or so, and it was an excellent hour-long discussion with a lot of great questions. Who'd like to kick off here?
Let's just briefly, Jeremiah, if you could describe the process of gathering this information. This you know, you weren't shaking a magic eight ball and just predicting the future. You gathered.
We don't know that to be.
I suppose he could have.
That's the thing about our research is that we go out and talk to all the people that are doing these things. So the great thing is I have access to the folks in the industry. So I interviewed 24 companies like Facebook, MySpace, Microsoft, Twitter, and a bunch of others to find out where do they think the future is headed. So I asked them those specific questions. I took a lot of notes, and I have lots of pages of notes. And then I was able to put these things together and look for patterns. And those patterns started to emerge, and then I put it together. And then I acid tested it on a few other brands to see, hey, does this sound right? Does this look right? And so far, nobody's called me crazy. Right. Now, keep in mind, we're not looking 10, 20 years out. We're just looking 3 to 5 years out, which in this space is still a long time. So a lot of these things are I can't guarantee they're going to happen, but it's very likely if you look at the logic flow. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think it made sense, or am I totally full of it?
Well, yeah, I think it made sense, and you know, the nice thing was it was less numbers based. It was more qualitative than quantitative research, and you know, allowing your insight to creep into it was incredibly helpful, I thought. So,
well, and the one thing that I thought was interesting is the focus on outcomes. So, what are you trying to get to? You know, what's your expectation? And that it's not about the tools and the technologies, where typically is where everyone goes. Even though one question that sort of came to me over and over again was about analytics. I don't know if you were the one, but somebody I read that I followed had talked about how 2009 was going to be the year of social media analytics. You know, the Radian 6 and Tech Richies of the world. And
but you said that, Steve. Didn't you say that?
Yeah, of course. When I'm pontificating, sure. But I'm wondering what your take is on a lot of the analytic tools that are perhaps providing the ability to understand brand names discussed within the context of a post.
It's very interesting. What some of these tools, like Radian 6 and Scout Labs, which I spent some time with, they're actually adding in first-generation CRM tools.
Mm-hmm.
So as you see a discussion happening online, you can now trigger workflow to your employees to go follow up or identify is the sentiment positive or negative. You can put in a tracking system to say, did you follow up, yes or no? What was the outcome? These are the same features that you see in like Salesforce and Siebel and other traditional systems as well. They're evolving.
But what's the challenge then with, and we just saw 200 million as a base for Facebook now, with walled gardens, because the analytic tools don't work going in and trying to analyze those relationships or discussions because you can't. Does that present a new set of challenges?
It does, but Facebook has that data. They can parse it out, some of their APIs.
Very true. Yeah.
But the thing is, consumers won't let them because there's a privacy setting there. But with that 200 million, there are still hundreds of other millions in other networks, Microsoft Live, Yahoo, MySpace, Bebo, High Five, Twitter, and the blogging community. All of that's public.
Mm-hmm.
So there's far more information that is public than not.
As far as in your discussions with companies as you present this data, are you seeing that are you able to manage the expectations of return on investment? I know that ROI usually comes down to how much money I spend and how much more money I'll get back. But really, in the changing face of the social web and community building, I mean, return on investment is not just monetary now, and it's, again, harder to measure, but aren't you finding it's also longer term, and how are companies dealing with that?
There hasn't been a lot of pieces published that actually can prove a lot of the ROIs here, and it's just very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing is that anecdotal or one-off cases, people will say they're getting return on small pieces of their quote-unquote campaigns or their programs, mm-hmm. but over the overall ones, very few can claim that success.
Are you speaking in financial terms, in dollars and cents, or are you talking about brand building or perception?
In the end is the bottom line.
Right.
I understand what you're saying,
right.
The intrinsic benefits right. out of these things, but in the long run, when they want to measure it, it's like, have they moved product or saved cost? That's truly what matters.
Right.
I mean, all those things that you did mention, like brand preference or mm-hmm. awareness, those have to tie to the top or the bottom line at some point. So I think they're important, but true ROI, it's been difficult to measure.
Well, and plus we talked about Gary Kolling from Best Buy earlier, and another great line from Gary about ROI is do companies ask, what's the ROI of our telephones?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's kind of a base.
You've got to be in the space.
You have
it doesn't
to be in
matter.
The game.
Yeah.
You have to be in the conversation.
Yeah, but I mean, this is for these new companies. I mean, we're in a recession, so every dollar counts. And this is new media, so that's the second thing. You have to track so you can improve on it. So the measurement pieces become very important right now. And if a company has to do cutbacks, you need to know what you're going to cut back on. But with that said, I published a report on social media in a recession. And 75% of companies, their budget for social media is under $100,000. Mm-hmm. That's pennies.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing.
And where do they put it? Do they put it in their marketing, or do they put it in their, we've talked about that. Is it in the research department?
Is it in support, or is it just general admin?
That's marketing.
Social media marketing.
Okay. Okay.
And they're pulling it out of their corporate or their advertising budgets in most mm-hmm. cases.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing, because one of the things that you've done again and again, which is looking at white label social networking tools as an example, talking about consolidation in the space and all of that. And so one of the things that I've been trying to observe is who's extending what. Right. So Salesforce doing Twitter and the social media analytic tools coming up.
Yep.
Are the BI vendors going to get into that space? And then what about campaign management? Because that's one of the things that's been interesting when I've sat through some of these demos with the analytic tool vendors like Radiant6 and Collective Intellect, is having them talk about, well, if you're going to go out with a new product or a new campaign, then wouldn't it be great to know if anyone's talking about it in the social media space? So you need analytics to look at that. Well, then that next says they need to come together in some way.
So I rated them in the Wave report, which is a market segmentation report on their partnerships. And a lot of them do have partnerships in the CRM or brand monitoring already in widgets as well. But the incumbents to move into this space the fastest, and you should expect to see things happen this year, are the traditional CMS or WMS companies. They're building little features, social features on their own. But for the most part, their culture and technology, they do not know how to switch from publishing to community. It's so foreign to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Expect some acquisitions this year for sure.
In the enterprise space.
Yes, definitely. Enterprise CMS systems will acquire some of these community management players. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been struggling, financially, so they are good targets. However, the entrepreneurs that tend to be in the first seat are still CEOs in these community platforms. They don't want to sell because the valuation is very low right now.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, they're going to get desperate, and you're going to start to see some acquisitions happen.
Hmm. Interesting. You made one comment about passion, and I forget what context you made it in, about it's about love. What was that comment you made about?
Oh, embracing?
Pardon?
Embracing?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, relating to embracing, I guess.
When you're cussing, I don't think I said love directly, but the embracing.
I heard you say it, but anyway.
You just wish I said
love
it.
Brands.
No,
right?
It was
about people that love brands.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
okay,
about
yes,
the consumer. It was about consumers that love brands.
That's right.
And I immediately thought of Southwest Airlines because I had a discussion
LUV?
About this
okay.
just the other day of how they're bringing social aspects into their.
community of, right. of users and getting people to submit content
I understand.
About tell their stories and that sort of thing.
You're right. I did say love. So yeah. we've done a research poll on consumers and asked them, do you want brands to participate and talk to you back? And should
yes,
they be where you
that was
are?
The context.
Should
okay.
they should they be part of your conversation in any right. of these social in the social space?
Right.
And for brands that people have a lot of affinity for, I don't know the exact word it was love or not. They definitely want them to talk back to them in many cases mm-hmm. if it's brands mm-hmm. they prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So brands that have loyal customers should not be afraid to go in, right. and embrace and communicate with them.
Right. Yeah. We hear talk about people saying, well, you know, I don't really want to have a relationship with the company that makes the diapers that. My kid uses, you know, but by the same token, we do see consumers who are very active in wanting to submit content about brands that they like, and Southwest Airlines would be one example of that. But you know, what about? I was specifically wanting to ask you, what about large retailers, for example? We didn't talk about that here today, but is it possible for say a large big box retailer to expect people to love them as maybe an airline can, you know? I mean, what are you hearing out there from different brands? Is everybody buying this that consumers can have a love relationship with their brand?
Hey, nobody's saying about getting under the sheets or anything. But
yeah, it's right.
You know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
But I mean, there's certainly an affinity. Your lifestyle relates mm-hmm. to that retailer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
And
that can definitely happen.
It can happen with any kind of brand.
That's a quick accolade for how you personally are. You know, walking the talk in terms of being engaged in social media. I mean, because you connect with people, and I know that you and I mean, you've pinged me, we've gone back and forth and stuff, and I mean, you're just connected to people, and you're willing to engage, and I'm assuming that helps a lot in terms of just building an intuitive understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, a true extrovert thrives off the energy of others, so that
and
I mean.
Do you consider yourself that?
You know, I did that rating. Actually, Forrester has all new employees do that. And the possible score for the E versus I, extrovert, introvert, is 25. I scored a 24. So I'm off the scale. Well, like, I thrive off community, and I study community. I do community. I help people with community. Mm-hmm. So I love it. Sometimes yeah. burns me out, though. But
Do you find that the social space not only really attracts the extroverts, but it also provides the introverts with a little more voyeuristic sort of being able to watch without necessarily being too engaged?
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you look at the technographics, not everybody's a creator, right?
Right. That's right, yeah. And the numbers of lurker, you don't use the term
spectators,
lurker.
Spectators.
Yeah, it has actually been going up radically yeah. from your 07 to your 08.
That's right.
Numbers. How do you explain that?
Well, it's try to find a news site from major media that doesn't have social features on it.
Yeah.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's very pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what was interesting about that number, though, is when you talk to anybody who has a group that they're trying to motivate a percentage of them to stand up and be leaders or be participants, it's always that, you know, it's the 15-20% of the group that will actually do that. And I'm wondering if those numbers are going to hold relatively static.
Most social technographic behaviors are increasing. So
you even think on the creative side, too?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it's increasing.
Well, I know, yeah, it did show increasing, but do you think that will just continue?
I think it will continue. Okay. And don't forget that digital capture devices, your phone, mm-hmm. are becoming easier and easier and easier to share information.
Yep.
So we know that teens communicate mainly through texting. They're already mm-hmm. doing that behavior. Mm-hmm. What happens when texting becomes public, mm-hmm. where Twitter features become like the norm,
mm-hmm.
so then that creator number will just go off the charts.
Didn't Tim O'Reilly speak recently about sensors will become an increasing supplier of data to the web? I thought that was something
that
came out of Web 2.0.
What did my refrigerator say to me right now?
Right, yeah.
He was going to do a tweet.
You need more eggs.
And your dog, and your dog, Rumba, is the name?
Actually, yeah, my dog
actually
Rumba
tweets?
Is tweeting, yes.
All by him or herself.
Himself,
huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, it's a bitch to use the keyboard with the claws.
Yeah, it is. It's tough.
That dog, bitch. I get it. Yeah, that's clever.
Actually, I didn't think of that. Thank you, Phil.
That's very clever.
So how many followers does Rumba have?
Good Boy Rumba has about 200 followers.
Cool. I have to check that out.
But you know what?
Hook you up with a local tweeter, Mr. Pickles here. We've got a Mr. Pickles.
Actually, he's following Mr. Pickles.
Oh, okay.
Rumba is actually very homogenistic, and I'm trying to get him to be a little bit better about thinking bigger because he only follows other dogs.
Getting
very
outside
limited,
of his circle. He's got to get outside of his community, yeah, his
right.
breed.
When he starts following cats, then you know you've made a breakthrough.
Well, we have to have a serious discussion.
Yeah. Well, just real quick to get back to brands online and brands interacting, can you give me an idea? Are you seeing or is there any evidence that there is better acceptance of people that represent brands rather than brands in the space? You know, I get followed by a brand on Twitter. There's no person attached to it, and I automatically just don't follow because it's like I don't really want to hear from an inanimate object. I want to hear somebody who's a champion. Do you see that? Am I alone in that space?
No, we're
that,
seeing it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, take a look at the Dell guys. It's like Lionel at Dell or Richard at Dell or Bob at Dell. Same thing at HP. We're seeing that. Comcast, Frank puts his name on the profile. Yep. So we're seeing the human pieces come out of this. People want to connect with other people. Nobody, you can't really friend a brand. So that's why I call it fanning, whatever.
Yeah.
So yes, that's definitely happening. But there's risks with that too, because these people become so famous that they get moved right out. Like Bob Persons is now on his own.
Right.
So there's risks. And I was the Hitachi guy, and I didn't pull me right out. So there's risks with this too.
Hitachi, where you used to work, you mean?
I was the community manager.
Oh, okay.
So I come from practice.
Hitachi, the data storage, data systems, yeah. You know, it's interesting, both you and Lewis Gray is active. There's a lot of storage guys that are out there active. And
storage is a very active space.
Yeah, it is. I've worked in it a lot, too. So I was going to say, I've even heard of startup companies having a Twitter account, and they'll actually sign their tweets with their initials at the end so people know which person it is that's tweeting.
Yep.
So that is becoming a practice even beyond the big brand. Anyone else have a question?
Well, yeah, I wanted to point out that one of our fellow Minnovators is here as well. Don has joined us.
Don Smith.
Yeah, I wanted to find out.
Thank you.
He's not working the room, so I didn't want to see if I'm involved in the conversation.
How's the sabbatical going, Don?
Sabbatical's going great. Steve asked me to actually do a Minnovate interview last week. I think it was on a late Thursday. I'm like, oh, that only gives me 2 days to prepare, and I'm traveling back from San Francisco, and there's no way I can do it. So maybe this is a little starting point.
There you go. There we go. There we go.
Good deal. Well,
any observations about or any questions or anything that you want to share with Jeremiah?
No, I'm just kind of awash in information today, so I need a little bit of time to process and reflect. No major surprises from the forester side, but maybe some surprises about my own culture and how willing they are to accept some of these tools and start participating. So,
oh, that's great.
It's encouraging.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Any stories when you met with Josh from Forrester about Jeremiah that you want to share?
Nothing
to do. Kidding.
Any photos?
Kidding.
It's already public, I promise.
Is Josh going out and delivering a similar talk to what you do with the
Groundswell,
big clients?
Groundswell is obviously the book he wrote. So.
Right. With Charlene, who's now moved on. Do her own thing. Yeah.
But he was my editor for the Future of the Social Web report.
Okay,
so
great.
He definitely knows all these topics.
And when, to just kind of follow up for what you mentioned in the beginning, when can we expect that research to be published?
It's with the editing team, so it should be in a few weeks. I don't have a specific date, but you'll definitely hear about it.
Oh, I'll bet we will, yeah. Well,
any parting remarks or thoughts or
ice fishing in Minnesota
I learned it's about ice out now.
You missed the ice.
That is an interesting term, isn't it?
Ice out.
Ice is out.
No.
But we enjoyed seeing Jeremiah last evening at a tweet-up that was organized by some of our local folks at Spill the Wine on Washington Avenue. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, for Mr. Roy. For his Jared Roy, is that it?
Could be.
Yeah, well, he organized it.
So oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Greg Swan? Yeah, yeah. Okay,
great.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
thanks for your time.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming to Minneapolis.
Okay.
Great.